Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. And you know what? You can now get us on iHeartRadio platforms as well. So check us out wherever you get your favorite music, wherever you hear your best shows, you can do it there for free. So check us out. It's 308, 89 degrees on this Monday, July 7th, 2025. How was everybody's 4th of July weekend? Hopefully you had some downtime. Hopefully you didn't get too crazy. Hopefully you took some deep breaths and took it all in. I spent a lot of time doing that. Had the family over, some of my family's friends over, and it was just a great weekend, a really good weekend. Looking back on it yesterday after everyone left, just my wife and I, you know, cleaning up, putting everything where it normally goes because we had to baby-proof the house and dog-proof the house, which is a lot harder than you think. Kind of took some time to unwind, went in the pool ourselves just to relax, finished up, the weekend chores that we normally get done that we kind of put off till Sunday afternoon because it was just too busy to do it while everybody was here. But hopefully you took that time. You know, I asked you one thing when I was broadcasting live on Thursday from Scrantastic on the 3rd. Is, you know, take some time to celebrate the birth of America. Take some time inward towards your friends, your family. Focus on what's special in life. And hopefully you took that advice. If not for a couple moments, if not for a deep breath, took in some sights, put your arm around your loved ones, tell them you love them, tell them how much they mean to you. Because that's what it's all about. And that's what it's focused on more and more in my life anyway, outside of here. You know, this is a platform. This is a show. This is entertainment talk radio for you, for the listeners, for me. And that's what this is. Everybody takes a lot of things way too seriously. And I think that's one of the problems with the situation we're in as a nation, where everything has come so vitriol. Everything has become so black and white, us, them, good and bad, regardless of which way you want to interpret that. It's really not. It's really not. We founded this country, and it's interesting, the birth of our nation, July 4th weekend and such, was based on those freedoms. Freedoms to think what we want, freedom to say what we want, freedom to do what we want within reason. And we've gotten far away from that now. You know, somebody doesn't agree with you, instead of shrugging it off and saying, all right, well, that's your opinion, and that's fine with me. It's not. And listen, I state my opinion. I state the things that I come across, and I research, and I give them to you. If you don't agree with that, that's fine. That's what this nation was all about. And as we celebrated the birth of this great nation, and hopefully you did that surrounded by your friends and family. And if you didn't for whatever reason, that's okay too. You know, you got to make the best of your situations. But it was a very fulfilling weekend for my family, and hopefully it was for a lot more. You know, we started out last week saying goodbye to a dear friend, and then, my family was in for that and here for the weekend. And then Saturday had my son's friends from high school, 22-year relationships there, come over and have a barbecue and have some drinks and play, you know, your typical lawn games and even maybe your occasional drinking game still, which I just still don't know how to grasp. But at this stage in my life, anyway. But, you know, just looking down at them, you know, my son with his own son, another one of his friends' wife was a couple months pregnant, another good friend who just lost his dad that we memorialized last week. You know, we're all there, taking a deep breath, taking it in, renewing those friendships that they haven't seen. You know, my son's best friend, he hasn't seen him since his wedding 3 years ago. I didn't realize it was that long, but, you know, they're in their own things, doing their own lives. But, you know, all took time to come over and have some laughs, and they were there for the entire afternoon and into the late evening. And you know what? I just had a couple moments to where I was just took it all in. There was one time on 4th of July morning. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. My wife and I were still having our coffee, just finished up breakfast, and looked out on our lawn, and there was my son, his wife, and my grandson just sitting in my lawn, the grass in the backyard, towards the middle, like way in the back, probably about 100 yards away from the house. And I just called my wife over. We stood on the deck and just watched. And that's, to me, at this stage of my life, is what it was all about. And that was my 4th of July summed up. Friends, family, and the future. Where we go from here, how we enjoy our lives from here. And listen, we work. It's one of the things that we have to do, regardless of that. It was interesting hearing the stories from high school, because these were all high school friends of my son, where, some teachers were like, oh, you guys just horse around too much. You'll never amount to anything. And here is every one of them sitting there making six figures. So it was interesting to laugh about and look back on. But that being said, there was a lot going on in the news today, and one of those things is the tragedy out in Texas. And listen, before I get on to this story, because it is so important and so tragic, I want to hear what you did this weekend, too. If you spent time with your family, with your loved ones, with your wife, with your parents, with your kids, if you went to the beach, whatever you did, text it in. If you don't want to call it in, text it in. 570-883-0098. I want to hear what you guys did. Did you take that time to take a deep breath with your family, look around, and just be thankful? Because that was what they fought for, our forefathers, our ancestors. That's what they fought for, to give us a place to be thankful for, give us a place to take that deep breath, grow our families, grow our future. So I want to hear what you did as well. So please text it in, call it in. Let me know, did you barbecue? Did you go somewhere? Did you just take some time? Go for a walk with your significant other, whoever that might be. Let me know as well, because I want to share that with the listeners. And again, we don't have to identify you. Just say what you did, because those are the things that are truly important to me at this point. Nothing else really matters to me at this point. I could walk away from pretty much everything in my life except that, because that's what I spent decades my life dedicating myself to, and I'm at a point now where I can sit back and appreciate that, and nothing else will get in the way of that. And I think more parents, more fathers especially, need to get in that mindset. It's okay to work hard. It's okay to go break your butt to do the things you need to do to provide for your family, but you need to also take the time to be there as well. So there you go. Hey, Rob, spent the weekend making hay on the farm. Thank God for lots of friends. Got it done. Great for you. My neighbors were haying. I saw them out there. I actually stopped and talked to them for a little bit. It's interesting because one of my son's friends' parents, he's now an engineer, but his parents are a farmer still, farmers in our area. And the first fields that my son, as a high school kid, helped hay was his farm. So we were actually talking about, it's all fun and games till you baled hay one day at a farm here in Northeast Pennsylvania. So that was one of the conversations. So thank you for sharing that with us. So these Texas floods, the death toll is now above 90, 90 plus, 27 from that girls' camp alone. And just the stories coming out of here, both heroic and tragic, are just, you have the low IQ individuals who are both using this for political purposes and blaming political purposes. Listen, there were 12 hours of warning given. These flash flood warnings were put into place 12 hours before. There were additional warnings 6 hours before, 3 hours before. And if you look at the video of how fast this swept in, you can't really understand why they didn't move or move fast enough when it started. I implore you to look at some of the videos. If you've ever been in a flash flood incident to where 1 minute it's barely getting your feet wet, the second it's at your waist high, and right after that it's at your neck, and within 5 minutes it's over your head. That's how fast this moves in. If you look at how some of the video, real-time video, this isn't sped up video, this water went from inches to feet in the matter of a minute and a half, sweeping things away within 5 minutes. The incredible speed of where this comes and how it comes. Now, once the floodwaters are already there and you're aware that there's flooding already taking place, well, it's too late. But, it's easy to say, well, how come you didn't know? Look at all this water. There wasn't. This water swept in. Before the time you could cross the street, the water would have been over your head or powerful enough to sweep you off your feet and down the river. But some of the stories coming out of here, the two sisters who were found deceased embracing one another, clutching each other's hands, are just heartbreaking. But you also have The Best of Us. The camp director who lost his life attempting to save who he could here being one. This Coast Guard rescue swimmer who left his life, left his job. I saw stories where he was possibly engaged and walked away from that because that's not what his fiance wanted with his life. And he says, well, this is what I want to do. This is my calling. And on his first deployment as being a rescue swimmer, his crew has already saved 165 lives when the story was posted. His name is Scott Ruskin. I posted a picture of him and his story from Department of Homeland Security on my Facebook page. So you could look at him there. Extraordinary bravery, selfless service, first responders that were on the scene, the firemen, the police, the Swiftwater rescue people were getting swept away. That's how fast and violent this water was. Coast Guard rescue swimmers are some of the best there is. To get through A school is just incredible. Actually, there's a comment on that story that I posted on my Facebook page of somebody's son who's in the Coast Guard and says he knows some of the best swimmers of his life that just failed out of A school because they just weren't good enough. That just goes to show you the skill there. 165 saves from this one crew. It's just outstanding. And it's not just this one rescue swimmer. Yes, he's the one that goes in the water and plucks them out. But the entire crew operating the helicopter in these situations where trees are falling and debris is coming down. And it's a lot of skill set, but it just goes to show the incredible people we have. I spoke to a friend who's a National Guard helicopter pilot who's on the scene. And during one of his down times, because they're doing obviously 12-hour shifts, 12 off, and they're extending that because they're really not doing night operations unless they have somebody in a sighting where then they can go up and pick them out. But other than that, they're not just doing scanning at night, obviously. He said, Rob, it's just unbelievable, you know, what we're seeing. The devastation, the debris, and by debris I also mean humans that haven't been recovered yet, is just to an extent we can't comprehend. And I know we've dealt with our floodings here, and it's interesting because that tropical storm came up off the coast of South Carolina, came inland, and it's now flooding North Carolina. And just before the show, I saw that North Carolina officials in a certain area said that there was a dam in imminent compromise, that it was going to fail, imminent failure, and everybody downstream to evacuate. And this is the very same area of North Carolina that was hit very hard last year. So one of the dams there, which could have been compromised last year or maybe under construction to be repaired, was at a failure stage, and they were evacuating everybody downstream. So not only in Texas are we dealing with that, but right here in North Carolina, and that was headed up to Western Virginia as it comes up. Now the rain is supposed to skirt south, and some north of us, we're getting a little bit of it over the next 48 hours, but nothing like they're getting down there. But again, it just shows you how when tragedies like this strike, and make no mistake, this is just devastating, the best of us come out. And even when that's going on, even when you have both ends of the spectrum, you know, children getting swept away at a girls' Christian camp, as young as, 10. And the best heroes that we have putting themselves in harm's way to do what they can to save people, you still have that partisan politic nonsense that inserts itself because we live in a sheltered bubble. And, you say things on social media, you post things, you call people names, you throw things out there that just kind of make you look ridiculous. It's more reflective on who that person is than the situation it is. And we need to start calling that out indeed. So we're going to talk more about this as we get through the show. And again, text in your stories of what you did this weekend. I see some stories about the flooding here. We're going to get to those in just a minute. But let me talk about the Good Feet store located right here in Scranton on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard across from the Olive Garden. They make it easier than ever to feel your best. I spent a lot of time this weekend on my feet from Scrantastic, where I had my grandson there and he was running around and, chasing after him. And he found our property for the first time where he was able to walk, and he was running. He'd get 100 yards away from you at the blink of an eye and just want to – he yells, go, 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 when he runs. So when he runs, he's go, 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 go. And when we're inside, he yells, outside play, outside play. He's only 15 months and putting two words together. But if it wasn't for my Good Feet Arch Supports and no more foot pain because I've had them in my shoes for the past 2 years, I don't know where I'd be. The Good Feet Arch Support, there's no waiting. Their arch supports are immediately available, so you can experience the difference today with a free test walk if you go in. And the best part, their arch supports are proudly made in the USA. So you want to feel better, visit them at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton. Call them at 570-534-0980. Or check them out online at goodfeet.com because you're not going anywhere without Good Feet. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's great to hear a lot of you did something special this weekend, took time with your family, your friends, your significance, and enjoyed life, right? Somebody, a texter said, took the week off Sunday to Sunday, took the family to Darien Lake Six Flags. If you've never been there, it's a great park, water park, camping, barbecue, riding rides, and just spending time together. I do this trip every other 4th of July, laser light show, fireworks, good time. Darien Lake's great, and if you're a roller coaster person, it is one of the go-tos for roller coasters. So highly recommended, highly recommended. Another listener said they tubed the Guadalupe, that's the river in Texas, a dozen times and drove the Camel River a bunch. Hey, Rob, had a great holiday weekend. Thursday up at Crestwood to see the fireworks, Friday in Wallenpaupack, and then for the very first time took my son shooting at a local range on Saturday. All in all, was a blast. Great times, things you'll both remember for a lifetime. So glad to hear it, and keep them coming in. What'd you do this weekend? No matter how small and big, I don't care if you sat on your deck holding your wife's hand or your husband's hand and watching fireworks in the distance. Again, we don't do fireworks at my house. Not a big thing, but from my deck, you could see plenty. Actually, we saw the Scranton fireworks because I left Scrantastic before the fireworks. We could actually see the fireworks from my deck. You know, they're not up close, obviously, but you could see the big ones up top. So, let us know what you did as well. Some good news for Pennsylvania. New law closes the loophole in the sex offender registration. It was signed Monday by Governor. Will strengthen Pennsylvania's efforts to protect children from sexual abuse in youth sports and nonprofit programs, according to the bill's sponsors, State Senator Lisa Baker of Lehman Township and Senator Scott Martin. This was Senate Bill 255, now Act 22 of 2025, adds the crime of sexual assault by a sports official, volunteer or employee of a nonprofit association, as a Tier 2 offense under the state's Sexual Offender Registration and Notification Act, otherwise known as SORNA. The bill was introduced after discovering that the crime was not listed as a sexual offense under SORNA, leading to inconsistencies in how offenders are tracked when their crimes occur under the guise of community involvement. This is a matter of public safety, said Lisa Baker, Senator. When someone uses their role in a trusted organization to prey on children, they should be fully subject to the same registration and monitoring requirements as other sex offenders. Our laws must reflect the seriousness of that betrayal. Previously, a conviction for this crime did not require sexual offenders to register, a gap that left children and families at risk. So you can imagine someone who's a coach or an official in sports, youth sports, or a nonprofit that does youth organizations abuses that trust, preys on our most vulnerable, our children, and was able to skirt the sexual offender registries, though that's no longer the case. So it's good to see the bipartisan support for this. It's good to see the governor sign it without any issues and now help at least. And it's something we talk about on this show regularly. The Pennsylvania Megan Law website, the Pennsylvania State Police monitor this very closely, and you should check your area of anywhere your kids are. And I'm not talking on a daily basis, even though you might want to check that too if they spend a lot of time there. You can check where your children's school is. You could check your place of work. You could check a park they may go to or anything. Pull up pictures and say, hey, you see this person around, just be aware. That's the whole thing, awareness, situational awareness. And it does work. I've seen it work firsthand to where, we've seen people in my past history that were in places they shouldn't have been, acted strangely around children after they were on that. And you're able to notify the police and they're able to follow up and question that. And if it's a violation of their agreement to be out as a registered offender, they could be going back to jail. So be aware of that, but this is a great addition to this law. It's coming up on 3:32 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's coming up on 3:37, 89 degrees on this Monday, July 7th, 2025. July, man, 1 week down already in July. Next thing you know, it's August. I already saw back-to-school stuff, specials and everything. Stop it. Stop it. Let us get a little summer in. So, we were talking about the tragic flooding out in Texas and North Carolina and even Virginia now. But right here in our area, there are some areas that are dealing with the potential of flood, and it's stymieing development. Down on Lackawanna Avenue in Oliphant, there's a developer that looking to invest nearly $2 million into storefronts, apartments. Developer John Watkins said the impact of longtime flood zone designation covering much of the downtown in Oliphant is hindering that development. The issue stops any new development dead in its tracks, he said. Now, Wilkins is a New Jersey-based developer working with local developer Adam Gifrida on multiple projects in Oliphant, acquiring the former Solom's Bridal at 129-3131 Lackawanna Avenue in 2023, with plans to tear it down, the dilapidated building, and construct a new three-story mixed-use property in its place, consisting of two first-floor retail shops and 12 apartments on the second and third floors. However, despite the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers building Oliphant a $23.5 million levee system along the Lackawanna River on the town's northern end and less than 20 years ago, the levee is not recognized by the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Without accreditation from FEMA, the levee effectively didn't exist when the agency calculated Oliphant's risk for a 100-year flood and designated its downtown as a special flood hazard area, or SFHA, meaning the agency considers downtown Oliphant to have a 1% chance of flooding in any given year. The designation means that the home and business owners with structures of the high-risk areas who hold mortgages from federally regulated or insured lenders are required to buy flood insurance and adhere to floodplain management regulations, according to FEMA. Says when you go from budgeting about $150,000 for a foundation and it takes you 9 months or a year to get two or three bids for what would be needed to satisfy all requirements, and it comes in at $760,000 as the best price, it doesn't make redevelopment possible. So hopefully, maybe someone could get the Army Corps of Engineers and FEMA on the right page to where it's maybe recognized by FEMA to help some of this out. I understand the regulations. And when they rezoned our flood maps all through here, I know I was the director of public safety for a large-scale community where there were several areas because we operated three high-hazard dams to where it was very detrimental to a lot of the areas as far as needing flood insurance. And that's additional factor, additional cost. Now, these were all pre-existing homes, but you can imagine if you're looking to tear something down and rebuild it, what hoops you have to go through. And here's something that's needed, apartments in the area, storefronts, and it's being held back because of two agencies not talking to each other. And this has been going on for years. It's not a new problem. Maybe it could get solved as a new problem. So we'll continue to monitor this because we want outside entities. We want people to come in and invest in our areas. That's the whole point of attracting that, hopefully not moving our local people out. So it's 3:41 here at WILK. Time for the NEPA Premium Perks. Enjoy this half-off deal for Del Grosso's Park and Laguna Splash. Get an all-day fun pass for just $19. That's half off. Your ticket gives you access to 30 park rides in the water park, which includes a lazy river, wave pool, and more. Home of family fun and famous food, try Murph's Kitchen, known for sandwiches and sides, Pappy's Fred's Pizzeria, the original park pizza, plus sweet treats, wings, and ice cream. Located at 4352 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in Tipton, you can visit getmyperks.com for all the details. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 89 degrees, coming up on 3:44. Going to have the Bloomberg in just a minute for you. Are you a World Cup fan, soccer fan? Well, you should be, because a big part of it's coming to our area, tri-state area, including Philadelphia. And they're expected to boost the statewide economy, even up here in Northeast Pennsylvania. So we're expected to get a lot of overflow. Hopefully they have some events up near our area. But as the world descends on Philadelphia, the New York, New Jersey metro area next summer to celebrate soccer, the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre region should be well situated to cash in, they're saying. Now, the Lincoln Financial Field will host 6 World Cup matches from June 14th to July 4th at Met Stadium. Listen, I'm not a soccer fan, but I love the World Cup when it gets going. It's funny because when I was a rookie police officer, early to mid-90s, the World Cup was in the New York, New Jersey area. And a whole bunch of friends, I was in the Pipes and Drums Emerald Society bagpipe band, and a bunch of friends of ours came over from Ireland and were here, and we had a ball while they were here. I mean, these are dedicated soccer fans, and the All-Ireland team was doing really well, and they were all here to celebrate it, and it was just a phenomenal time. So ever since then, you know, I've kind of kept tabs on it, but now that it's definitely in our area, we should be getting it. It's something that we take for granted here in the United States. It really hasn't been a huge thing. It has been growing, but professional soccer really hasn't had its takeoff. And even as a child, when I grew up in Astoria, Queens, you know, Randall's Island was the soccer stadium. That's, you know, where Pele and his team played when they were there. So from a young age, it was always around us. There were people, a lot of the soccer players lived, professional soccer players back to the Cosmos, the New York Cosmos, lived in Astoria and surrounding areas up in the Bronx as well. So, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons, but they're really expecting a boom here. Meg Kane, a CEO and host city executive for Philadelphia Soccer 2026, believed Northeast Pennsylvania stands to benefit from the droves of passionate fans traveling to the larger metro areas from locations both internationally and throughout the country. And like I said, this is 100% true. Now, outside of Philadelphia, we really don't have a lot of international airports here except for Newark. But, I mean, there must have been 30 or 40 of our friends that came from Ireland just to see the Ireland team play in the World Cup. And you will have people from all over the world here visiting. So it will be a big boom. There will be huge benefits. Now, the economic impact study conducted about a year ago projects the 2026 FIFA World Cup will have a $770 million economic impact across Philadelphia and Pennsylvania alone. That's almost $1 billion across Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. Kane expects more than 100,000 hotel rooms to be booked through the tournament and more than $300 million in direct tourist spending. We're working with the Commonwealth and Visit PA on how we can make the World Cup part of a family's journey to experience tourist attractions from Pittsburgh to Hershey down to Scranton, Philadelphia. She said, we think there's an opportunity for a significant amount of travel. Sometimes you don't need to leave the state to have a great vacation. And, I mean, you're diehard, depending on how many tickets or what their availability is to get in to see the tournaments. And, again, your team might be playing one day and not playing for 3 or 4 days later. So there is plenty of time for excursions and such. So I would like to see our area places maybe plan to do something. You know, I think it would be a great idea to, you know, have some of our venues get up really big screens, have some events, even up here. I mean, you're a two-hour drive from Philadelphia. If you're going to see your team play and your team's not playing for three or four more days or two or three more days, you know, take an overnight trip up to our area and experience what we have to experience here. It would be make for a great event. You know, maybe do a half music festival, half large screen watching the soccer games. So, you know, even if you're not watching your team play, you're watching the other teams play. You're still part of the festivities. You're still part of the events. And in the meantime, our areas here, our hotels, our venues are making money. So if you're in the hospitality industry, I would look to get some big screens up somewhere. And I don't care if it's out on the field on Montage Water Park or, you know, up at the Toyota Pavilion or the baseball stadium. You know, maybe do the game and then a watch party for the World Cup soccer. You know, get a mix of both there. I think it would be great. If you have some of the larger venues or bars in our area, I would definitely look to do something and promote it. Not only here, but down in the Philadelphia metro area to see if you can get people up here for a long week and experience what Scranton has to offer, what Northeast Pennsylvania has to offer. Because we do have plenty, and we have the venues. You just have to think out of the box and attract these people. These are international tourists coming here to celebrate their team. They work hard in their countries just like we do here, and they like to spend money when they get here and like to have a good time. That's why they're here, to watch their teams and celebrate, have a good time. So let's open our arms up to them and have them come here. But this is going to be a great event next year. I just remember in New York City working when the World Cup came to that area. It was something else. So I'm looking forward to it. And again, I'm not a huge soccer fan, but when these different nations and their whole nation gets behind a team, it's something special and it's something to see. If you've never been to a game, I highly recommend going. It's 3:50 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. 354, 90 degrees on this Monday, July 7th. A little drizzle in the forecast or some rain the next couple of days. But listen, when's the last day we had three beautiful days? After that rain came through Thursday night, and we were at Scrantastic. Believe me, it did come down pretty hard, but just for a little bit. And then the sun came out, and then a blue sky, the moon was out, perfect for the concert, perfect for fireworks. But then we had Friday, gorgeous day. Saturday, gorgeous day. Sunday, gorgeous day. When's the last time we had three perfect days in Pennsylvania, in Northeast Pennsylvania? I think it was November. I think we haven't had a full weekend without rain since November. So again, one of the things to be thankful for, perfect timing. Hopefully a lot of people were off, had that time with their families. So, you know, on a little bit of the fun side, and it's interesting because I ask my son this all the time, have you seen any UFOs? Because there's always the reports of the fighter pilots seeing these UFOs. I said, we can come up with like a code, so you don't have to tell me. You just, you know, you can just let me know. But no, he hasn't seen any UFOs. But over 60 UFOs have been reported zipping over the New York skies in the first half of 2025. So no need to go to Afghanistan, no need to go to the Red Sea, Yemen, or anywhere else, Saudi Arabia, or anywhere else you need to go. You just go to New York. 60 UFOs have been reported. A jaw-dropping 66 UFOs have been spotted zipping over New York State skies for the first half of 2025, according to official data. Well, what official data, you might ask? Okay, well, the self-reported incidents documented by the National UFO Reporting Center, the NUFORC, are not independently verified and range from claims of green orbs zigzagging in Norwood to helicopters chasing bright white saucers in Huntington. Now we got helicopters chasing UFOs. In June alone, the Empire State saw six separate incidents, continuing a trend of unexplained aerial activity, according to the organization. I would also like for them to correlate the legalization of marijuana and UFO sightings. I'm just saying. The reports range from upstate towns to the heart of the Big Apple, the data shows. Nufork, N-U-F-O-R-C, that's the acronym, founded in 1974 by noted UFO investigator Robert G. Gribble, aims to document and investigate UFO sightings across the world. There have been 6,196 reported UFO sightings in New York alone since 1995. Well, here's the thing. I saw a fun thing on social media. And, you know, it's on social media. It must be true. So remember all the reports over history? And this goes back to, you know, centuries ago, of pirates and sailors, tall ship sailors, big sail ships. You know, reports of the giant squid. They wrote books about it, movies. They did movies in black and white about the giant squid. Well, now we're finding, as technology advances and our videos are at the palm of our hand with cell phone and GoPros and underwater cameras and everything else, well, we realize now that the giant squid does exist, right? But for centuries, it was a myth. No one has ever seen one, captured one, nothing, except it was a legend, nautical legend, these giant squid. Well, now we kind of see them all the time. But yet Bigfoot, which we've heard about the same amount of time, it's in hieroglyphics from centuries ago, and people have talked about it from different cultures and different parts of the world. It's got different names. It has different, you know, historic value. But nothing as far as any proof that Bigfoot exists. So it turns out that the drunken old sailors from the 1700s and 1600s were telling us the truth about the giant squid, and so far we can't find anybody about Bigfoot. But it's interesting. I saw he was just here at the Kirby Center, Josh Gates. He does Expedition X and Expedition Files and Expedition Bigfoot and all these different shows that he has. My wife and I have gotten into his TV shows. He's sort of like the modern day Indiana Jones. And he was talking about Bigfoot, and he said that if you get into the legends, the folklore of Bigfoot, was it more of a warning on how people should act and live in certain areas that are vulnerable? He says, you know, in places of Africa, they talk about the man-eating lion. Now, it happens to be true. There were a few. But it was to keep the kids closer to home. It was to keep their young juveniles out of trouble because it was dangerous out there. You know, in the Amazon rainforest, you hear about all these things. Was Bigfoot just that? A legend to kind of treat you, hey, if you don't treat the environment good, if you don't treat the area good and be careful in these dangerous areas, you know, the Pacific Northwest, the Himalayas, maybe it's just that, and it took off from there. And it made some sense. So, but there are UFOs in New York. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.